Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Evan J. Lipson, MD, Associate Professor of Oncology at Johns Hopkins University, to discuss the FDA approval of relatlimab plus nivolumab in melanoma. On March 18, 2022, the FDA approved the fixed-dose combination of relatlimab plus nivolumab for the treatment of adult and pediatric patients at least 12 years of age with unresectable or metastatic melanoma. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 2-3 RELATIVITY-047 trial, in which the combination regimen led to a median progression-free survival of 10.1 months versus 4.6 months with single-agent nivolumab. Additional data from this trial showed higher PFS rates in the doublet arm versus the monotherapy arm. At 12 months, the PFS rate for the doublet arm was 48% compared with 36.9% in the monotherapy arm. At 24 months, the PFS rate for the doublet arm was 38.5% compared with 29% in the monotherapy arm. Regarding safety, relatlimab plus nivolumab is associated with severe and fatal immune-mediated adverse reactions such as pneumonitis, colitis, hepatitis, endocrinopathies, nephritis with renal dysfunction, dermatologic adverse reactions, and myocarditis. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Lipson discussed the significance of the regulatory decision for relatlimab and nivolumab, updated data from the RELATIVITY-047 trial, adverse effects clinicians should be aware of when prescribing the doublet, and the potential next steps for this therapy in melanoma. So we just heard that the FDA approved the frontline combination of relatlimab and nivolumab for patients with unresectable and metastatic melanoma. What would you say is the significance of the FDA approval?
Well, this is certainly exciting news for the melanoma community and for patients in particular. This trial broadly was the first phase three validation of LAG-3 as an immune checkpoint that can be effectively targeted in cancer. It is the third checkpoint after PD-1 or PD-L1 and CTLA-4 to show a benefit in a phase three study. So I think that it's important for patients in terms of adding to our armamentarium of effective therapies, and it also benefits the cancer population at large, because this becomes another tool that will be incorporated into trials of combinatorial therapy moving forward.
Before we dive into the pivotal efficacy and safety data, how do you really see the approval affecting current practice patterns?
I think the approval of Rela plus Nivo is going to impact primarily patients that would have received nivolumab or pembrolizumab monotherapy as standard of care. So as you know, the 047 trial compared Rela plus Nivo compared with Nivo alone, and the safety profile was tolerable generally, and the progression-free survival was improved. And so I think for many of us, the patients who would ordinarily receive anti-PD-1 monotherapy for unresectable or metastatic melanoma will probably now receive Rela plus Nivo instead.
So, of course, we saw updated data from the study. What really stood out to you about these updated data?
Well, the first thing that stood out was the continued improvement in progression-free survival by blinded independent central review. So when we presented these data at ASCO in 2021, the follow-up was only about 13 months. And so what Dr. Georgina Long presented was continued demonstrations of improved progression-free survival with a median follow-up of 19.3 months. And so you can see that the curves continue to separate. There were two landmark evaluations, one at 12 months and one at 24 months. And both of those time points demonstrated good separation of the PFS curves. I think one interesting feature of the RELATIVITY-047 population was that it included patients with both acral and mucosal melanoma. So that's melanoma that starts, say, on the soles of the feet or palms of the hands, or melanoma that starts on a mucosal surface. And biologically, these subtypes of melanoma are a little bit different than standard cutaneous melanoma. So this was an important inclusion in the study. It was about 20% of the population that had acral or mucosal melanoma. And so this is interesting and beneficial for patients who have these less common subtypes to know that Relativity's results included them and that RELA plus NEVO is potentially effective in those patient populations.
Now, in looking at the safety profile of the combination, what adverse effects should clinicians and patients be aware of and monitoring for?
The safety profile of RELA plus NEVO really mirrors the toxicities that we see with immune checkpoint blocking therapy generally. So fortunately, we're all relatively familiar with the identification and management of immune-mediated toxicities associated with immune checkpoint blocking therapy. This is because that approach is just ubiquitous now and across tumor types. So fortunately, this really does not change the way that we evaluate and manage these toxicities. The good news is that what we saw in terms of likelihood of a grade 3-4 toxicity was below the rate that we have seen with some of the other combination therapies. So the type of adverse events doesn't really change, but the likelihood that one might see one in a patient is perhaps lower than we would expect with some other combinations.
Now, I know the numbers were small, but what about the incidence of myocarditis?
Myocarditis was an adverse event of special interest for us on the study, and this was largely because some of the preclinical data in mouse models demonstrated that LAG-3 inhibition was sometimes associated with myocarditis in mice. The incidence of myocarditis was still fairly low on both arms. Any grade myocarditis occurred in 6 patients on the RELA-NEVO arm and in 2 patients on the NEVO monotherapy arm. So it's difficult to make comparisons with such small numbers, but I would say in any patient who is receiving immune checkpoint blocking therapy, the possibility of myocarditis certainly exists, and it's something that we keep on the differential in a patient that would present with chest pain or heart failure symptoms, et cetera.
With the second approval of dual checkpoint blockade, what does this suggest about where the field is headed and what research remains to be done?
Well, this certainly is a great step forward for immune checkpoint blocking therapy. As I said, the LAG-3 pathway is now the third pathway in history to be validated as a therapeutically beneficial pathway. It's a tool that we can learn a lot more about. I think there are some gaps in our knowledge at the moment, including whether LAG-3 blocking therapy is effective in patients with brain metastases. We know that to be true about ipilimumab and nivolumab in combination. We know less about that with relatlimab. There are also questions about patients who have autoimmune conditions and whether the use of relatlimab could exacerbate those. So we have a lot to learn yet about how best to use this therapy. But I think the exciting part is that it becomes part of our armamentarium, and it's an additional option for patients with unresectable or metastatic melanoma. And it allows inclusion of a third checkpoint pathway blocker in combination trials looking forward.
Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.